Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know, I wish we could talk to Atlanta United president Darren Eales face to face. I really wish we could get him on the show to tell him how we feel as Darren Eales is here.
Hey, man.
Afternoon, chaps.
El Jefe, the boss.
What's going on, Darren? And I got to start by saying this to United fans. Darren has been on our program since the inception of Atlanta United. We've grown with him as we've talked about our club. He's never once said to us, don't ask me this. I don't want to talk about this. Unlike some general managers, okay? And I'm just telling you, so what we're about to say, none of this has been, we haven't been told not to ask him anything. There's some things going on with our club. And I want to start by saying that Frank DeBoer has apologized for calling fans spoiled. If you missed this, and Mike, we talked a little bit about this. I get where Frank's coming from. I understand what he was trying to say, but the way that it came out, it rubbed some people the wrong way. So Atlanta United manager Frank DeBoer today apologized for describing the team's supporters as spoiled after the 1-1 draw against Cincinnati. What'd you think?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think this is a classic case of someone speaking in their fourth language. He didn't mean it sort of pejoratively. He was just actually the question that he was asked was, had the word spoiled in? So what he meant was, which is absolutely right, our fans have got used to success and therefore there's going to be high expectations. So we're not shying away from that. We know that. It's the great thing about this city. Look, I love the fact that we've got so much discussion and so much excitement. We're only two games into our MLS season. I mean, I think it shows why this city is so wonderful, why it's a soccer city, because everybody's got a view and soccer's a game of opinions. That's the great thing about it. But I do think, you know, from Frank's perspective, that was a little bit where it was just taken out of context and it sort of got a life of its own.
Right. We told Darren in the hallway here before the interview, we said, you're big time now, baby. You're getting as much heat as the Falcons or the Braves. So what about the pace? And we understood, I've tried to explain to some fans who are new to the game, that moving Miggy to Newcastle was always part of your business model. You talked about that. But how, because Petey is a different type of player, how do we get him more involved and how does that develop?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge. I think there's a couple of things. I think firstly, and I don't think we can forget this, and it was a great learning experience for myself, Champions League. You know, I'm always an optimist and we're talking up about how we've, you know, we'd love to win the Champions League and go to the, you know, the FIFA World Club Championship. But let's be real, the team we're playing in Monterrey, they're unbeaten in Mexico. They've got a wage bill three times ours. And literally when we saw the game the other day, when we, you know, we went there to try and grind a result out to be able to bring it home, but they're bringing Pizarro off the bench who cost, you know, over 50 million as their sort of first sub. And we have two right backs out and we just, you know, we're at our bare bones because of a salary cap. So the league's got some questions to ask. If we want to be competitive against Mexican clubs, we have to release the purse strings a bit and have, you know, the ability to get depth in your squad. Otherwise, it's going to just be a, you know, a fluky year where one team does it because they get a lucky run. But what that does do, and, you know, not to give excuses, but we had to play then with a shortened preseason in Champions League in a knockout competition. And let's not forget when we played in the glorious MLS Cup run and managed to be successful, we played with a back three. It was effective in us grinding out in those games where it's your life's on the line in a knockout. So I do think part of it has been the fact that we had those early games where we'd gone to a three because we felt that was effective in terms of trying to sort of get a result in the knockout stages. And we've had two MLS games in between that. But look, there's no doubt that, you know, what Atlanta stands for, the players know it, the coaches know it, you know, we all know it with our fans, is about trying to be more attacking. So that is the test we have now, is how do we set the team up now to get Pity Martinez, who's, you know, a fantastic player. You don't get called up to be a national team player for Argentina, playing with Messi, Diaba, all of those guys, unless you're a good player. So we've got a great player. But again, he played in the FIFA World Club Championships at Christmas. So he's coming off no rest off-season at all, yeah, into a totally new team, and he's a different player from Miggy. So I know no one wants to hear it, but it does take time for that chemistry to gel. But that doesn't mean the players, the coaching staff, all of the club knows that. And look, I think we'll see that. You know, tomorrow's a tough game because Monterrey are a great side. I think, you know, we've got a Philly game on the weekend in front of our amazing fans that we're going to hopefully see a little bit more of that attacking football that we used to. And then the great thing for us is we have a couple of international breaks. We have one international break and then we have our bye week. So we have a chance there to really sort of solve these problems and to get a team that, you know, we would love to watch and see and play and And it's really early. We're only two games in. And let's not forget, last year, we lost two home games. I remember the world was ending in summer last year because we lost to KC and Red Bulls. You know, these things happen, but it's about how you react. And I think that's where, you know, the test now for our team is, you know, we've been very lucky. We haven't really had adversity, and now we've got a little bit of adversity. How do we react to it?
We're champions now, and I think the standard has changed, you know, and fair or unfair, I think that's part of this. Darren Eales joining us in studio. It's Dukes and Bell. Darren, I said this to our listeners. I trust you. I trust Carlos Bocanegra. You guys helped put this organization together and the foundation of what it stands for and certainly our attacking style. My question is, how much are you involved with Frank DeBoer, if at all, when you guys start to make these tweaks and talk about maybe how to do things differently so that our players can have the success based on what their skill level is and their skill set?
Yeah, look, I think our job is we're a support mechanism. We're a sounding board for Frank. You know, Frank's the coach and he has total control over the team and how he sets it up and how he wants to play. But obviously we're there for Frank in terms of just being a sounding board to chat through, you know, issues we've had. Because again, he is a coach who's come to this league. He hasn't been in the league before. And I've had this at every team that I've worked at. You know, the fans know the players better than any manager coming in because they've been watching them day in, day out. So you always have a transition period where there's a little bit of an element where the fan base is saying, oh, that's strange. Why is he doing that? Well, partly it's because you've been supporting the club and, you know, we've only been in 2 years in existence. But at Tottenham, you might have been going for 20 years. So you've got a view on the players. But a manager comes in fresh and he'll have his different ideas. And look, they'll see things perhaps the previous manager didn't see. Miles Robinson is playing unbelievably. He got no time under Tata. So, you know, different managers see different things. It's going to take a little bit of time, but, you know, rest assured that this is not something that, you know, any of us are taking lightly. We know that the great thing about it, like I said, is that we have, you know, I'm turning my radio, I'm hearing different views from fans. That's great because that shows we're relevant in this market, which is what we want to be, and we don't shy away from that.
It is our man, Darren Eales, guys. President of Atlanta United will be live at the Gulch, by the way. Dukes and Bell coming up tomorrow as we get ready for the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League against Monterrey before we roll to Mercedes-Benz. The thing is, you promised, you did tell us, that you want to keep the attacking style. And so for the fans, you know, and I know we, Jason Longshore was saying, don't read too much into the 3-4-3. There's a flow to things and how it goes. But it just seems, from the free-flowing style, it just seems like it's harder to get shots on goal. We're the most prolific scoring team in the league. Are you saying just be patient with that? That will come in Frank's style?
Yeah, and I think, look, and it's part of its personnel as well. So Franco Escobar was MVP of our playoff run, playing in that wide right attacking role. He does his collarbone on the first day of training. So straight away, you've got an issue there where you've lost one of your talented players. So some of it's personnel. But look, we obviously want to be an attacking team. We didn't go and sign Pity Martinez, South American Player of the Year, who's an attacking player. Because, you know, we didn't just hoard the Miguel money and say, right, we'll just shut up shop now. And but the reality is he's a different type of player. And his, you know, his fitting in with the team is going to take a little bit of chemistry to build up. And it's going to take a bit of work. But, you know, it's a work in progress. I think that's the reality. And that's what you'll see as the days go on.
As far as our back third, what are you thinking as far as how they've played? We've talked a lot about, you know, Martinez and Barco. What about on the defensive side? What are you thinking and how things have turned out?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think I don't want to sort of target specific players, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, the players as a whole would say, look, you know, without pointing fingers at anyone, it's not been perhaps the level that they've expected coming off the success we had last season. But that's a collective team effort. You know, that's not just one person. I think everybody could point to perhaps a mistake they made or how they can improve it. But, you know, what heartens me and what I think should hearten the fans is, you know, this is a team that's fully committed to, you know, they know that we are defending champions. They know we've got this amazing, passionate fan base that is just an unbelievable support for us. And so they want to do the best for them. And, you know, you can see that in training today in terms of the endeavor and the effort. And no one feels it more than the players and the coaching staff in terms of wanting to turn this around.
It is Darren Eales, guys, president of Atlanta United, with us here in studio. And the thing that we've had to do here on the radio, Darren, and we've talked about it with the listeners, not only do you have the passionate hardcore fans who are part of the Founders Club, been there from day one, you've got all the fans who jumped in on it last year who then go, well, this isn't the United I saw last year. And we've tried to explain. You've got the Champions League. There is a tweak with the style of play. But it's tough when you're at Mercedes-Benz, as it was, you saw it, you're in the building. People just kind of wound up sitting on their hands. So you're telling me be patient. We are going to get back to what we need to do. It's a combination of injuries and just the temperament of the players? Because Brad Guzan said, look, we've got to be better ourselves.
Absolutely. I think, you know, part of it is there's a little bit of a mentality, and I think that's where the fans can really help us because, you know, they've been incredible, and them sort of cheering the team on, lifting them. When we do the Icelandic clap, you can almost feel a sort of energy going through the stadium that lifts to the players, and that's why they're so important. So, you know, that's what we have in our favour, which is great. We've got this unbelievable, passionate fan base that can really lift our players. But look, you know, it's a modern phenomenon, isn't it, where you look back and think everything was rosy the last 2 years. You know, we've sat on this show talking about games against DC United where they parked the bus and we just couldn't find ways to score. These things happen when teams come and sit back like Cincinnati did. Now, that's not an excuse for the performance, but it is a reality that teams are going to do this, so we have to find ways to solve it.
I do want to ask you about the travel. It's Darren Eales, guys. Because again, I'm not going to make excuses. We're talented enough. You said it. Our coaching staff is, you know, brilliant enough to put things together that we can tactically win these matches. But the schedule has played a role, and I'm not going to deny that. And I want you to talk a little bit about this because the travel involved with playing in CONCACAF and then getting our MLS season started, we've been all over the place. And I don't know if guys are tired. Mike and I have said this. In some instances, we've believed, especially maybe in the second half, guys have looked tired, and I don't know if that's fair or unfair. How do you feel?
No, it is fair, Carl, and it's what we've got to do as a league. I mean, if we want to actually be competitive, we're going to measure ourselves by how we do in CONCACAF Champions League. We have to change the time that we have to prepare, because in every preseason around the world, in every other league, you'd have 6 weeks usually for training before the first game. We have a CBA, and at the moment, we have, you know, 4.5 weeks before our first game. It's just not long enough anyway. You add on top of that, then you haven't actually played any league games. You're going straight into the Champions League, which is a tough tournament with travel to, you know, whether it's Costa Rica, Mexico, you know, you could be in Panama, etc. So they have to try and change that to give the teams the best chance. Otherwise, what you're actually saying is, okay, we'll try and do it with a wing and a prayer, but we're just not really setting our teams up for success. Or what we might have to do in future years, if we're fortunate enough to qualify, is to say, actually, we've got to approach this differently. We cannot actually put our eggs into, you know, both baskets. We're going to have to pick one over the other.
Like Toronto. Now, Toronto gets all the way, you know, a game away. And unfortunately, it derailed their MLS season last year.
Exactly. And that's, you know, Mike, you're right. I mean, they actually did do that classic. We're going to focus on the one, and it didn't quite pay off. And then it undermined them in the MLS. So it's a difficult situation for all teams. And that's not an excuse. You know, but it's something where I think we've certainly learned from this year, and in the future, we're going to be much better equipped.
We said that, you know, DC, we talked about, Carl, like some just bad luck in years past at the old RFK Stadium and all that. And just then, of course, you said their defensive posture. I just think people have to also understand they're better this year. They might not have the depth that we have, but they built off last year's second half to the playoffs.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they got a good draw up in Yankee Stadium as well. It was their second game. I mean, they're a good team. And look, that's the reality as well, is we're in a league where, you know, we don't have any divine right to be the champions. You know, it was hard work. It was, you know, a lot of effort, and we have to work harder to do it next year. But other teams are trying to catch us. And, you know, it's the toughest year, as you all know, in sports. It's once you've won a title one time, it's defending it is the hardest thing. And there's a reason why it's very rarely happened in MLS in the past. But, you know, we want to be a team that does that.
Darren Eales brought to you by Aaron's Guys, perfect for your budget and style with top name brands. If we score 4 goals tomorrow, you will do what?
If we get through, I will, I'll run.
If we score 4 goals tomorrow,
you made him blush.
Darren Eales, you will do.
Shave your head?
What? I'll get into the fountains in Centennial Olympic Park.
All right, there you go.
Fair enough.
There you go. Easy Eales told us.
Hey, I'm not counting our guys out. I can't. But I know there's some people who are like, listen, the way that we've played, it doesn't feel good. Let's go down to Mercedes and see what happens tomorrow. Mike and I will be in the Gulch getting you guys ready and talking a lot of sports and free agency and all that. Darren, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. And a quick shout out to the TIFO that the supporters did.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I can retire now that I've actually been in a TIFO.
Pretty cool. If you didn't see the giant folding pages on the book, very cool.
Darren Eales, guys, president of our Atlanta United.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.